It's Rick Emerson, the radio program. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. It's 503-733-2970. By the way, if you'd like to see this, the photo of Sarah Dillon, I will simply say, I'll just refer to it as Sarah Dillon and this other woman engaged in... I'll put it this way. I'm willing to grant that maybe it's... Maybe she's kissing you, but you are not kissing. But I will grant that. Maybe she's attempting to kiss you, and you are resisting her feminine wiles and clearly very muscular arms. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, if you've ever seen her at the roller derby, she...
Beat your ass,
no,
man.
She kicks everybody's ass. She took down more girls when I was at the roller derby last time than anybody else.
Yeah, I can see that. So, if you go to rickemerson.com right now, you want to hit refresh to make sure you've got the most recent version of that. And, you've given it all away now.
What? I'm looking at something someone wrote me.
Think about a joke you heard last week. It's 503-733-2970. I gotta close this. We got Gary Baumgarten coming up. Just a few minutes here later on. This hour we'll have another visit to the Ministry of Truth later on. Jim Roop, from Los Angeles, California. All right, it's closed. Thank God. All right, if I can just,
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except
you're not going to amount to jack squat.
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Scotty J, hello, sir.
Good afternoon.
All right. By the way, I would encourage you, here's the thing. If I'm going out in the middle of a break, you can't be reaching into your clothing and pulling out bandages in front of me, because that's just wrong. As I walk out of the studio, just go to the bathroom now, and as I walk out, here's what I see, and it was the noise that went with it. I walked out of the studio just in this last break to use the bathroom. Scotty reaches inside his shirt, and he does this. He gives it like a, ugh, and he pulls out what looked to be some sort of wet bandage.
Well, he got his flu shot today.
Flu shots are crap, though.
The tearing of skin.
I can be a test subject because I've never had one. This is my first one, and I usually get the flu once or twice a winter.
I seems like one of those things that maybe the people... Flu shots seem to me like it's a power of suggestion sort of thing. Like you either feel good or bad, and if you feel good, you ascribe it to the flu shot, and if you feel bad, you don't think about it. It seems like one of those things is not even, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, it seems like a thing that is... I'm a little skeptical, and I mean to sound like...
You're the guy spreading it, right?
No, I don't mean to sound like an old person. I mean, I don't even sound like, I don't trust this new... I don't want to sound like is some one of those anti-fluoride nutcases that's like, you know, fluoride is a mind control technique to get rid of, you know, nuclear waste. It's one of those guys. I'm just saying the flu shot thing, I'm just not entirely convinced about it. We'll see. Doesn't matter. Whatever.
I found out today you can't get the flu from a flu shot, and I should have known that
but
years ago.
But you can,
ago.
But it is the flu. That's the thing about the flu shot. It is the flu.
I thought it had some kind of a egg enzyme type thing in it. Really? Seriously, I heard that a long time ago.
It came off the Nostromo, and it's going to burst out of your rib cage in 3 months. It has egg in it?
In some fashion.
Why would they inject you with an egg, Scotty? That doesn't make any sense. Even really,
why do they use fluoride?
But then again, why would they inject you with the flu?
Right.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, why would they inject you with an egg? Even by your sometimes very peculiar and distinct logic, that doesn't... What kind of egg do you imagine they're injecting you with, Scotty?
In the shot.
It's like a frog egg of some kind?
It's part of the medicine. I don't understand.
An egg.
See, I don't know enough about it. I'll have to do some research, but I
heard this. Yeah, go research. You just go wiki yourself into a tizzy, my friend.
The Band-Aid was bugging me, so I ripped it off. Sarah?
All right.
It's like you still have yours on.
Sure do.
All right, then. So let's move forward. Let's talk about the Al Gore thing. We got Gary Baumgartner calling a few. So we got Al Gore. Now, what we'll do probably tomorrow, we don't have time to do it today. Tomorrow we'll probably try to come up with a better name for Al Gore's global warming tour, which is coming to town. It's going to be at the Rose Quarter. Let's see, Al Gore, Tuesday, October 24th, 8 p.m., location, Theater of the Clouds, Rose Garden, blah, 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 blah. And we got there's more about it as we get closer to it. but we've got a pair of tickets we're going to be giving away. So we'll do the pop culture face-off here. And so how did we end up doing it yesterday? Yesterday is all just such a narcotic haze to me. Let me just say this. I had more people come up to me yesterday, and I'm not fishing for compliments, come up and say, oh, it was a really especially great show. The show is often amusing and chuckle-inducing, but boy, was it fantastic. And I'm not even saying it was good. I just don't remember anything about it. So I don't even remember.
It was all about the Wenatchee banana.
Well, isn't it always? That always leaves me bruised and sore. How did we end up doing this? Did we end up doing, it was like a best of three, or was it like a Sarah, me face-off? It's all come back to me in fits and starts.
The listener has the choice, right? They can either go against you or, you know, have Sarah.
Or they have Sarah by proxy. Right. All right. Exactly. And so we have,
Yeah, so since you're so, you know, proud of your pop culture skills, yeah, it's me and the listener against you.
I've been thinking, okay, well, see,
if they want me.
Oh, I've been thinking that the person on the phone, though, is maybe it is an advantage because maybe they don't hear the audio signal is maybe a little delayed. So I'm thinking that maybe it ought to just be Sarah and I because then, you know, you ought to play for the listener. Because the person on the phone might not be able to hear it.
There's no delay on the phone.
No, but see, you have a advantage here because these are more skewed to your demographic. In all honesty, I was looking.
You keep saying that.
But I was looking at these, and I don't know these questions.
It's not the. Well, maybe that's not about the demographic, Sarah. Maybe. I mean, it doesn't. It's not the 80s edition or anything. It doesn't. Give me a sample question.
What U.S. president's family vacation home is in Kennebunkport, Maine?
The Bush family.
Yes. See, I don't know this stuff. This isn't pop culture to me.
That's complete pop culture.
Boring.
Just because it doesn't contain the word Melrose in it.
Okay, what Boston band subtitled its 1990 album Porno Graffiti?
Extreme.
I would not know this.
All right. Scotty, did you know either of those?
No.
All right, so you don't feel comfortable being the proxy for the listener?
No, I mean, I feel comfortable being on the listener's side.
Let me ask you this. What if, all right, we'll figure it out. We got to figure out somewhere to do it. This is Gary Baumgarten, though, I'm suspecting. So we should probably, let's take this call, which I suspect is CNN radio correspondent with Gary Baumgarten, and we will figure out exactly how to conduct
this. You want to go through some of them and maybe see, like, which ones?
I think the random thing is we'll
figure it out. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now, I believe, from the city that never sleeps.
New York City.
I hope this is him.
I hope this is him and not just some random guy dialing numbers. No, I know that laugh anywhere. CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. How are you, sir?
I'm not playing Trivial Pursuit with you.
No, here's the thing. I'm not trying to say that I'm smarter than other people, but I do have... I have learned over the years that I've got a small number of very finite, hyper-developed, somewhat stupid abilities. And one of them is just a memory of all kinds of pointless, meaningless minutiae. It just crops up in my head like so much lint on a piece of scotch tape. And so much so, and I know I'm not the only person like this. I got an engineering department across the hall filled with guys. My family won't even play Trivial Pursuit with me anymore. They won't. They just, I try to play Trivial Pursuit because it's the only game I'm good at. I'm no good at Monopoly. I'm no good at Scrabble, chess, even that. I'm not really all that good at. Trivial Pursuit, though, I'm damn good at that. Nobody will play me. The last time.
You gotta learn how to lose occasionally.
I gotta throw a game now, and I gotta sandbag it.
Sure.
I gotta get Don King to manage my Trivial Pursuit.
There you go.
I can tell you this. The last time I played Trivial Pursuit with my family, probably 9-10 years ago, it was like we were home for Christmas or something, and it got to the point where whenever it was my turn, I had to answer the entire card. I had to do every question on the card. While other people, it was like some weird affirmative action, like quota Trivial Pursuit thing for me because they felt that I was, and that wasn't even the pop culture edition. That was just the regular edition.
And you still beat them.
It's what I do. Are you counting down until your departure from CNN?
I am. It's
have you got
like
a desk?
I said yesterday, mixed feelings about this, you know. But
have you got a desk you're going to be cleaning out?
You know, it's interesting. I have very little, very few personal belongings at my in my studio. Very few. Yep. I never accumulated very. The biggest thing that I accumulate is, and you probably get this as well. I get a lot of pitches from publicists, from authors, and I've got all these books that I could never begin to read. So.
Oh, no, but you could begin to sell those. That's See, you work in radio. I'm surprised you didn't know that. Let me just tell you this. There's a place here in Portland, a very famous bookstore called Powell's Books. And you go to Powell's, And you walk up certain aisles, and man, every third book says, for review and promotional purposes only, attention morning, you know, show producer. Would you be interested? That's it. It's like you go to every pawn shop, and it's just filled with CDs that are autographed by bands that came through town that the music director then sold for blow. So, I know anything. Sarah,
you mean if I take those books home and sell them, I get my severance package?
Yes, exactly. The best part is when I was just telling that CD story just now, Sarah mouthed a name at me.
Oh, and you know it.
No, but I do. Here's the thing: is I looked up at halfway through, and I don't know what name you mouthed. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that would explain a lot, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Does seem a little tightly
somebody
wound.
Somebody worked with in radio who...
I don't know. I'm not going to say that...
Allegedly.
That person does seem a little tightly wound, don't they? Yes.
Didn't you ever notice that?
No, that is true. That person does seem to have an abundance of energy, don't they? I'm sorry, Gary. We're just engaging in the Ethelia's shop talk here. All right. Well, you know what? I got to tell you, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. Really, we're probably going to talk to you as often as possible between now and the 26th. I would just ask this. Just before you leave, if you could just send here to the studio just some small, like a tchotchka, just something that marked your tenure at CNN. Just some small gee-gaw, something that you're laying around the office, whatever, picture of you, something like that. That's what we don't have. You got to send us a picture. We'll find some excuse to get you on at some point when you move on to the new venture. But you got to send us something to commemorate your time as one of the much-loved correspondents for the Rick Emerson Show.
Okay, it's a deal.
All right. Well, we talked to Lisa Goddard about Korea earlier, and the key word with Korea just seems to be crazy, closely followed by crazier, is that... I think it's China now that's saying that there is it that there has been a second nuclear test, or they're thinking there's gonna be. It's one of the
South
two.
South Korea says that, and I think the U.S. intelligence is backing that up, or maybe the U.S. intelligence provided them the information that there are some indicators that they may be moving toward another nuclear test, which would, of course, enrage everybody here at the United Nations.
Well, now, do we even? And this sounds like a dumb question. Do we even know that there has been a first test yet? Is that a thing that we...
They did announce yesterday that they found radioactive particles floating around in the atmosphere above where the test occurred, and so they are convinced that it was a nuclear device as claimed. As you know, there was some speculation that perhaps it really wasn't a nuclear device, but he was just doing that to gain attention.
Right. Well, see, and you know, the thing about Kim Jong-il is, and he is fascinating to me, and clearly he's a bad guy, but I mean... There's bad guys who are just sort of tedious and just sort of uninteresting, run-of-the-mill bad. And then there's, like, Charles Manson bad, which is sort of fascinating bad. And then there's Kim Jong-il. And I think about one of my all-time fascinating bad guys is Vlad the Impaler. Now, Vlad the Impaler, which is a guy you just don't hear enough about these days. He's the guy that Dracula was based on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, the very dictatorial, very brutal leader in, I believe, now it's Romania. But got his name because, you know, if you were in disfavor with him, he'd just stick you up on a sharp pole somewhere, and have you sitting outside his front door, just as a lesson to the others. And Kim Jong-il seems to be very much cut out of the same cloth, just a whole lot of because you see unstable people, especially in New York, all the time, wandering the streets, talking to themselves, reeking of urine, speaking to people only they can see. Well, Kim Jong-il seems to be in the tradition of a lot of crazy dictators, one of those crazy guys who just happened through quirk of circumstance and birth to end up running an entire country, right? I mean, that's what this is. This is a big, overgrown, power-hungry, mentally unbalanced six-year-old with all the power in the world.
I think probably, and it actually would be a very interesting thing to do, is to interview some maybe a psychologist who's watching this very closely, to give us a little bit of their understanding of what kind of a person he is. But I don't think you need to really be an expert to come to the conclusion that you just came to. It's pretty obvious.
And
he's kind of stomping his platform shoes up and down, screaming that he wants some attention here, and he wants attention directly from the United States, and he wants to be invited to the White House to meet directly with President Bush, or he's going to continue this program.
Well, and it really is shades of Khrushchev, as we noted the other day. Yeah, exactly.
But the only difference is Khrushchev was a real power. This guy wasn't anything that anybody took very seriously, except, of course, the people, of course, on the Korean Peninsula, and the Japanese and the Chinese, his neighbors, had to watch out a little bit. But now that he's a potentially a nuclear power, if he figures out a way to put that on the end of a warhead on a missile, now he becomes somebody we have to take notice of, whether we like to or not.
Well, that's my thing, and everybody in this country, and certainly on our show, we have our thoughts about preemption, and especially in the case of Iraq, and whether or not that was the right thing to do. But my question, as much as I'm not for going to war anywhere, my question becomes. As I was talking to Lisa Goddard, and I made this analogy, I said, it's like if a crazy guy in your block buys a machine gun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can either let him have it, you can let him have it and then make sure that everybody else also has a machine gun. You can let him have it, but, you give him some money every month as like an exchange not to shoot anybody with it. Or you can just like go in and take it away from him some night. And it seems, and I hate to boil things down into an oversimplified sort of analogy, but it does seem like that's where we're heading with this guy, where at a certain point, he's either going to have a nuclear weapon, at which point you can't really tell him to do anything, or we're just going to have to go in and sort of say that, I'm sorry, we're here to take this from you now.
Well, and here's the other real concern. We talk a lot about the inspection of the cargo that the sanctions call for. It's cargo not just going into North Korea for fear that it's materials that could be used to develop nuclear weapons. It's cargo leaving North Korea for fear that he's exporting nuclear weapons, perhaps to terrorists.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Right. So this is why, he's a potential, they talk about, does he have the missile capabilities to reach the west coast of the United States? Maybe, maybe not. But does he have the ability to pack that thing up in a container and put it on a cargo ship and float it out to somebody who then can detonate it in the middle of a U.S. city? Absolutely. And so now there's reason for us all to sit up and take notice of what's going on here.
All right.
Sorry to give you a downer.
No, not a downer. It's just sort of confirming, I think, we all...
Right.
Hey, real quickly, Tim Riley handed me this. I don't know if you're talking about this. I always feel like such a tool when I'm trying to pronounce hip-hop stuff, but this rapper, Fabulous?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's Fabulous. So,
yeah, he went to...
he got shot like 100 times or something.
Well, he was shot at a bunch of times and they winged him once, I guess, in the leg. And you know what? This is like deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra would say, because this happened, I forget who it was recently, but the same kind of thing happened. There was a shootout at a club, and they took off running, and of course they ran through the red light, and the cops just happened to be there and
right.
pulled them over, and they find guns in the vehicle.
I'm stunned.
So now he's in the hospital as a police prisoner.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, you got an email seeking comment from a representative of Def Jam Recordings was not immediately returned. You'd think that they would just have a stock release at this
right.
point, really?
Exactly.
Like, they would just have sort of a template, like, we asked, rapper shot, guns found in car,
right.
trunk filled with marijuana, so sorry.
Do you remember, did you see the Sopranos episode where the rapper...
yeah, where he gets shot
the guy to shoot him.
In the ass to get his street cred? Yeah. Fantastic.
But you know what? It's so real. For some reason... suddenly, when they're involved in a shooting, then people pay attention to who they are.
I'm telling you, man,
we could compare the rappers to the president of North Korea.
I was just going
to
say, my friend, that this could be your new street cred. This could be your new thing. This would think what you do is you get Roop or somebody just to wing you. Nothing is going to maim you.
Yeah.
Maybe you get McCarthy a little liquored up one night. You get him to do right there and get you like in just like one of the thighs or something. There you go, and then. And then it'll put the fear of God in everybody, man. It'll show them how you roll.
Yeah, that's okay. I don't need that.
All right. Gary Baumgarten, my friend.
I don't like
pain. We will talk to you very soon as your departure approaches. There you go. CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. Fantastic. Did your Lisa Goddard yesterday talk about how that's how she rolls?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, best thing ever. Really. All right. Lots of phone calls about hairy tongues. Also, Tim Riley we got to get to. Plus, we got this. We got to figure out how we're going to do this.
Dennis today?
Later, 2 o'clock hour, I think. And we got to figure out how we're gonna do this pop culture thing to get with these, because I got to do that this hour. How we're gonna get with these Al Gore tickets? And then I never did. I got this whole pile of gossip news, which I pulled, which is fantastic. Maybe I'll do it next hour. I never did even finish it because you know why? Because the first story was this lawsuit from Vince Vaughn about allegedly kissing a woman, which launched us into this whole business of you and this photograph of this girl that you can see at RickEmerson.com, by the way, of you with just a section of your tongue I would say past her teeth, and whether or not that was in fact a kiss. So, and the judges haven't really weighed in on that yet. You can see that picture at rickemerson.com. So we'll come back. We'll talk to Tim Riley. We'll give away these Al Gore tickets. And then later on, we'll get to this pile of gossip and Dennis Pittsburgh. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It's AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. We return after this.
Over to the side of the road, I heard.
Son, do you know I'm stopping you for?
Cause I'm young and I'm black and my hat's real low. Do I look like a mind reader, sir? I don't know. Am I under arrest or should I guess them up?
Well, you was doing 55 and 54.
Uh-huh.
Lost the registration, listed out of the car. You carrying a weapon on you, I know a lot of you are.
I ain't stepping out of shit on my...
It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Rick, since you've apparently written off getting Sarah's nipple as friend on the program, does this mean there's a bounty on any similar woman I can find? Okay, let's be really clear that we're not talking about a bounty on women of any kind, because that's weird and probably a felony. I'm saying if you know one. But no, there's no... I can't... It seems like we're probably violating some sort of ethical standard and perhaps a law or two if we start offering bounties for you to bring women to the studio. That, I mean, I haven't taken the CBS. I haven't done the CBS online training thing yet, but I suspect that would probably not go over well with the HR. But who can say, though, really? There are all kinds of rules that one is not really privy to. Rick. About Sarah's picture, I just don't know. On the one hand, you do have hot girl-on-girl action. So I do like it, and I have to side with you. On the other hand, Sarah looks like she's trying to escape the grip of the... I do have to ask this. So is it that you were there talking to her? How is it that the camera came to be placed?
I think we were just hamming it up for the camera, because we were there, and everyone was just hanging out, and Sean Couples had his camera, and I think that we were just doing that to be kooky.
What is the power of some guys... I mean, I know that there's alcohol involved, clearly, but just the power of some men with a camera. Well, I could go around all day with a camera, and I could just find pairs of girls, like, hey, kiss for the camera. And it's like they would just tell me to get bent, and then they'd kick me in the sack. With Sean, who, no offense, he's from the engineering department. You don't necessarily think that he rolls like a Mac or something. You know, I mean, you don't necessarily think that engineers necessarily have all the pull, as they say in Baltimore, with the ladies. And yet Sean just, hey, you ladies want to kiss for the camera? Bam, it happens. Preserved for all time.
No, he didn't ask us to. I think we just did it.
Well, see, but there's so much difference. You don't even have to ask. You just did it voluntarily. It's a cruel way that nature has of distributing favors. He says it's a tough one to answer. I think it's all very difficult. Yeah, I think we need more pictures of Sarah in the Roller Girls' loving embrace to really decide. All right. Let's see, Rick. Rick, this says, Rick and Sarah, please, for the love of all that is, this is all in all caps, for the love of all that is good and holy, stop talking about a hairy tongue. I can't put my own tongue back in my mouth now. All I can taste is orthodontic hair. Holy God. All right, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A man has been killed after falling into a food processing machine. This happened in Tacoma. The man fell into a large machine and was killed at Bird's Eye Foods. Police are investigating the cause of the death of 51-year-old Kenneth Williams and exactly what he was doing when he fell in. The cause of death will be released after an autopsy.
Can I see that for a second? Mm-hmm. I'm going to put that over here in the pile of unpleasant ways that I get Bird's Eye Food into a food processing machine.
They make TV dinners and green beans and whatnot.
And, they make TV dinners and... Now, Kenneth Williams. No, there's just nothing there. Now, it's right out of my reach. Well, okay, well, there you go.
So don't fall into it. List of things not to fall into.
Meanwhile, from Fort Myers, Florida, comes this story.
Oh, no. That's all me. Yeah. That's right. Eat that.
I don't think.
The debate is finally over, and the controversial festival gets to keep its name. Members of the Fort Myers Town Beach Council have voted 4-1 not to change the name of the Turkey Testicle Festival. Apparently, the festival organizers were thinking about dropping the word testicle from the name. The Testicle Festival is held at the Surf Club on Fort Myers Beach. And the object to it, if you give a donation, you get to eat a turkey testicle.
You get to.
Yep. Apparently, this is part of a growing national trend.
It's not.
And there are turkey testicle festivals in cities all over the country, we're
true.
Told.
It's not true. This is more made-up news. No, you get to eat a turkey testicle. Okay.
The Turkey Testicle Festival is planned for November 18th, right before Thanksgiving. There'll be a $5 donation or canned food donation taken at the door in order to eat a turkey testicle.
Lucky us. It's like that thing that Rocky Mountain oyster thing they do in Montana. There's just certain things that look, nature has ways of indicating you're not supposed to. Never mind. That nature has ways of indicating you're not supposed to eat certain things. One of them is by naming them testicles. Rick, I want to see pictures of Sarah experimenting with a love that dare not speak its name as much as the next demented fan. Alas, this is not the picture with which to begin said collection. Clearly, Sarah's friend is attempting some oral rapery, and Sarah is doing, that's an unpleasant word, and Sarah is doing her drunken best to avoid said roller girl tongue. All right. Let's see. What else do we... another tongue pick. And then No.
It's sweeping the nation.
The hairy tongue. Rick, the hairy tongue is right there with the Wenatchee banana. Rick, please, in God's name, tell me how to get back to a world where hair doesn't grow on tongues and all of Sarah's friends are hot and not nippleless freaks. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for a Saddam watch.
Long time since we had one of those. It's old school.
It's been out of the news.
Saddam watch, ladies and gentlemen.
Some people say that I'm a bad guy. They may be right.
Bum-bum-ba-da-dum.
But it's not as if I don't try.
I can change, I can learn to keep my promises, I swear it.
I'll open up my heart and I will share it.
Any minute now I will be born again.
They just replaced a whole bunch of guys who ran their police department that we have all that confidence in.
That's the place where it was raining feces?
Yeah.
Okay.
A gunman killed the brother of the chief prosecutor in Saddam Hussein's Kurdish genocide trial yesterday, even as the ex-president called in an open letter for insurgents to forgive their American enemies and for Iraqis to forgive each other and stop the sectarian killing. In the letter, Saddam declared Iraq's liberation is at hand in an apparent effort to cast himself as a statesman. As Iraq plunges further into civil war and the U.S. weighs what to do next. Many Iraqis have come to believe that the U.S. has decided to begin pulling out of Iraq despite President Bush's denials. The hour of liberation is at hand, God willing.
Okay. And this is Saddam saying this? All right.
Remember, that is your near-term goal. It is confined to freeing your country from the forces of occupation and their followers and not to be preoccupied with settling scores.
To whom is he saying that? Does he have a press agent or something? I thought the deal was that when you were on trial for being, you know, causing genocide, that you just kind of sat in your room and sort of brushed your teeth a lot and watched Days of Our Lives and didn't really talk to people.
So this is from an Arabic language letter, so he must have used an Arabic typewriter.
He
dictated this to his lawyers.
And is he on trial in Iraq? Is this happening in Iraq?
Yes.
Okay, there's so many, you know, this is one of those things I really ought to ask the CNN folk about, because I really don't understand a whole lot about this. So, Saddam Hussein is on trial in Iraq, but who is actually trying him? Because there's no government, right?
Well, there is a government in Iraq.
I thought there was, I thought it kept getting blown up.
And well, they keep replacing them. They have a farm team for all these people.
It's just sort of an ad hoc. It's kind of an all-star, kind of the Washington Generals of the international trial. But it's not like us, so we're not doing it.
No.
It's just some guys.
Some guys.
And so this is, and what penalty is it that he's facing?
Death.
Really?
Sure.
So if he's found guilty, first of all, let's acknowledge that there's no way he could not be, look, I'm not saying he shouldn't get a fair trial, but it does seem like even from this vantage point here in Portland, Oregon, that the preponderance of the evidence indicates that he is, you know, what do you call it, a guy who kills people.
The object of this was for the people of the country to rally around the new government and get interested in this.
And what better way to rally around than with a hanging? So,
but of course they're too busy trying to stay alive themselves, worrying about their own death, than to worry about the town's death.
Dodge the raining fecal matter that's falling out of the ceiling in the jail where everybody has joined the secret.
I mean, Saddam is one of the lucky living people.
Really?
He doesn't have to worry about being killed every day.
And he's got medical coverage. He's got full medical coverage. There was that another story about that in the New York Times the other day. Nobody else, everybody else is living in a mud hut and eating cockroaches, and he's sitting there.
And he's the only person in the country who gets a change of underwear who really doesn't need it. Everybody else could use it several times a day.
I mean,
why should people be envious of Saddam?
Draw your own conclusions about why you would need to change your underwear several times a day. But I guess my thing is, the next time we get somebody from, like, next week we get Lisa Goddard, I'm going to ask her about this, even though they're not talking about it. My whole thing is, see, I never know what to believe these days. It really is just turning into Clyde's world, because you never know what the people in Iraq really think of that guy. I'm not saying he's a good guy, but I'm saying people in a country often have a very different or skewed perspective on a leader. He's very different than the rest of the world. And so you've got to wonder if the people in Iraq are just thinking, remember that time when we weren't being blown up by the Americans every day, you know? And you've got to wonder if they want Iraq back the way it used to be, and if the people in Iraq want Saddam back. And if that's the case, what's going to... I guess what I'm getting at is you got to wonder what's going to happen if they hang him. I mean, what's going to... If they hang him... We're effed. We're just going to have to pack up our crap and just get out, because they'll go nuts, won't they? I mean, you can't.
It doesn't take much in that era of the world.
I mean, go more nuts. They'll go a little bit wackier. I mean, look how angry we got when Hugo Chavez came here and said that George Bush was the devil and a retard and whatnot. He wasn't even hanging him. He was just coming here and saying that George Bush is evil and not very bright. If we go into another country and just hang the guy who used to run it. The wheels are just going to come right off the wagon at that point. Well, all right. Well, there you go. So that's one of your stories to watch for the upcoming. That's one of the new 2000 shows you want to be keeping an eye on. We hang Saddam and Iraq blows itself up. There's your Saddam.
I can change. I can change. I can learn to keep my promises. I swear it. I'll open up my heart and I will share it any minute now.
I will be born again. Let me see. What are these people calling? Oh, good God. Hold on. Let me find this. For the love of holy Christ. I can't find it. It'll just have to be this. George in Wilsonville. Hello, sir.
Hello. First of all, I have to say that I fear not. George is here. I have the cure for the hairy tongue. But before I detail that little announcement, I would like to say, Rick, that one day you were gone, and Tim did a great job. But I now know I never want to live in a world without Rick. And I came from San Diego originally, and I want to return desperately, but I will not until you can be piped down there some fashion or move your location.
I have not now, because I've been busy with the laying around and the Valium and so forth. I haven't listened to that. I heard that Tim Savage did an admirable job.
Oh, he comported himself excellently. He's Tim Savage, but you, sir, are Rick Emerson, and we all know what that means.
Yeah, okay.
But anyways, as far as... about Saddam Hussein, I just wanted to mention that the death rate in Iraq is now four times higher than it ever was during his reign, resulting in 500 people dying a day there across the nation.
Yeah, but they got happy logos over there now, and then probably a Starbucks or two.
Anyways, the hairy tongue is not actually hair.
Oh, God. Wait, hold on. Before you go into that, is this stuff I want to know?
Yes, this is good news.
What news could possibly start with the phrase, the hairy tongue?
I have a substance available to me that kills it dead.
Your tongue?
No.
Why would you take that?
The fungus.
What fungus?
Well, that is actually a thrush or a fungus.
Thrush is I don't even know what that is. Thrush is one of those words that you see occasionally in medical literature. I don't even know what it is. I don't know what it does.
It's horrible.
It's what?
It sounds horrible. It's a type of fungus growing on the tongue, and it indicates an overall lack of immune system strength.
And of hygiene, I would think, and of the access to even the most rudimentary of tooth cleaning materials.
Well, it's not really, it's systemic. It's not something that is topical. It's not like you can just brush your tongue and it'll go away. It's a type of fungus that's inhabiting your whole body, and it's just manifesting itself on the tongue.
Are you really talking about this?
Yes.
Are you really coming on and talking about, quote, a type of black fungus that's inhabiting your whole body that only makes its appearance on your tongue?
Exactly.
Is that like, what does it mean, only makes it appear? Is that like with gremlins that only come out at night or something?
Well, it's similar to what you see. You know those little gremlins that peel up the toenail? Remember those that hop under the toenail in that commercial?
Why? Yeah.
That's the same kind of fungus. But before you end the call, sir,
I am reaching for that.
Oh, I can sense it. I know you. Listen, the thing, the cure is called olive leaf extract and
fire.
No, I'm not lying. I swear on a fall.
What?
I swear upon Tim Riley, my God, out of all those who listen.
No, I can't. No. No, I'm sorry. No, that's too bad. That's a damn shame. I wanted to talk about black fungus inhabiting your whole body all day long. Oh, good God. All right, it's 503-733-2978. Let's do one more. We'll break. We'll come back with the Al Gore tickets, Dennis Pitsenbarger, et cetera. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, about 2,000 people were vaccinated in a four-hour period in what is described as the nation's longest drive-through flu clinic. Cars lined up along a 20-mile stretch of the Columbia Gateway Drive. The average waiting time for a shot in the arm at the drive-up, 90 minutes, but people waited.
Well, that's it. We got this. Let's see. Rick, where did this email go? Rick, did you just plain flunk out of school? What the hell were you smoking when they tried to teach you science at the country bumpkin school you went to? The flu shot you got is cultured in chicken eggs. Why would I want this put in my body? The flu you got is cultured in chicken eggs, extracted, and then shot into you. Here's my question. How do you ever come up with that? Like, what mad scientist, how bored are you around a laboratory? Why don't we, let's take some flu and stick it inside an egg and leave it behind the stove for a month or so. And then, stick it in a guy's eye and see what happens. The egg albumin that Scotty correctly surmised could be passed to you is... I don't even know what he's talking about anymore. I'll give you props that you know pop culture. When it comes to anything scientific, shut your yap and listen to those more knowledgeable, i.e. Scotty J. Except that knowing nothing is your first step to enlightenment. It doesn't make any sense at all. All right. And one more. Rick, about those two pictures on your site, it's like you're handing me a cookie and then hitting me in the head with a brick. Cookie, brick, cookie, brick, cookie, brick. Mmm, ouch, mmm, ouch, mmm.
That's funny.
By the way, would tongue hair work as the transplanted hair in the medical hair restoration procedure? Is it possible to transplant hairy tongue tissue to the top of your head? If so, would you then taste your hat and dandruff and shampoo and all of that? Could you curl your scalp? Pleased to be asking all the folks in the Seattle for me. Yeah, I'll get right on that. There you go. All right. It's 503-733-2970. I'll tell you what. Oh, that's a good question. George says he has the cure for hairy tongue. Does that mean he has it? That is a good question, Scotty. I never thought to ask
that. Did he ever tell us the cure, or did you hang up on him?
I didn't want to know, because I didn't want to hear anything more about a black fungus inhabiting your entire body. Because that's just a thing I can go the rest of my life without hearing.
Yeah, that's pretty gross, because that means that all your insides are coated.
That means, yes.
And that's the one part that's just peeking out.
That's... it's like the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. Except in this case, the iceberg is just a big wedge of black fungus inside you. Yeah, that's like those smokers. Did they ever show you the smoker's lung when you were in school? Yeah, where they're like, here you go, and they crack it open, and it's like just a big blackened piece of goo. Yeah, that's no good. Where is Sarah? What do you mean, where is Sarah's picture? It's on the website. Look, Scotty has typed four times on the screen, where is Sarah's picture for the listeners? It's at rickemerson.com.
Kind of making me uncomfortable.
Where else?
She wants to see it.
Where else would it be? What?
I'm kidding, Scotty.
He's Scotty typed. I missed the picture. I need to see it. I need to see it. Scotty must need see picture.
Scotty has needs. Yeah. Must fulfill.
Uh-huh. must fulfill his needs. All right. Okay. Here's what needs to happen in the remaining hour and 10 minutes. We got to give away these Al Gore tickets. Oh, I forgot to bring... Okay, so one of the geeks across the hall, Ryan the Engineer, is going to be the proxy. So he will come in, and we'll do the pop culture face-off. He will represent a listener. We have Dennis Pitsenbarger, we have Tim Riley, we have Jim Roop, and I got to get to this gossip pile. So you stay there. We'll be back after this. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Rick Emerson Radio Show.
Am I supposed to be playing something? Just this?
Rick Emerson Radio... Flawless. Best show ever.
I was distracted by the competition between Angelina Jolie's knockout looks and Jennifer Aniston's natural beauty.
If you had to sleep with one of them.
I don't know. You?
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston, totally.
Yeah?
Well, see, body type-wise, I'm, you know, Angelina Jolie, but it's just that she looks so fake. I don't believe for a minute that Angelina Jolie's had no plastic surgery. I don't believe it at all. She claims that she's all natural, and I don't buy it. I'm with Lycus on that. It's like, whatever your preference, it's just the bad fake is bad fake. It's just off-putting. All right. Anyway, back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show.